And we are back with Beach and Company. I'm Sandy Beach, and Ken Hamilton is with us. Hello, happy early Thanksgiving to you, Ken Hamilton.
And it was indeed an early Thanksgiving for me. My sister usually cook, and so when she set the turkey out to thaw, she left it on the counter, and so we had to have ours on Sunday because she had to cook early.
Oh, she had to cook it early? Was it good?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah?
It was pretty
so good. I want to ask you a question. We're doing a trip called the West Coast Dreaming with Dan Neverth and I in May, and we're going the entire coast of California, L.A., San Diego, San Francisco, and then we go over to Vancouver and whatever. It's a great trip, but you were in the Navy. Any chance to port a call? Did you ever in San Diego in the Navy? Why are you laughing? There's a big naval base.
I was stationed in San Diego.
You were what?
Yeah, I was stationed there. That's the second largest naval facility in the United States.
Oh, okay. Because we're going to, that's the second part of our tour. We fly to Los Angeles and then go down to San Diego and start from that on Princess Touring all the way up. When you were not on ship, what'd you think of San Diego?
Oh, God, Sandy, you know, if it wasn't so doggone expensive, it is it's America's Garden of Eden.
It's beautiful. I've been there once. We took a group up the California coast on the Starlight Express train, and I was just mesmerized by it. What a place.
It is beautiful.
It's supposed to be the best weather in the country. I remember my good friend, my dear friend Don Burns was working in San Diego. And it was during one of our tough winters, and I called him in San Diego. I said, what's it like every single day the same weather, sunny and like 76, just beautiful weather? I said, don't you get bored with it? He goes, what are you, crazy?
Yeah, what are you nuts?
He said, what are you, nuts? No. He said, it's absolutely great.
You know, and I was there for, I think, 2.5 years. And you know what happened down there? That song was wrong. It never rains in
Southern California.
Well, it does. And it rained, I think it was twice.
Oh, jeez. Well, we're going to look for evidence when we're departing the ship in San Diego for your presence.
Well, you know something? My ship was in San Diego, my first ship. I was 6 months in San Diego. But then I returned for a special program to become an officer in the Navy. And we had off-base facilities. Oh. And so the apartment that my roommates, we had, there was a three of us. We had two swimming pools, a jacuzzi.
tough naval duty in San Diego.
They paid enough for us to have, the three of us, to have such a nice apartment. Two clubhouses, a sauna.
Oh, nice.
You know, everything, excuse me, everything was there. And I was there for, a year and a half. Of this type of a duty. Plus, they paid for our meals, despite the fact that we also worked on the base at the snack bar where I was a short order cook.
Oh, nice.
And so we didn't have to, really buy any food.
You weren't under duress. Well, I looked up online. I looked up to see where the Princess ship docks there, and it's right near the naval base. You can probably see it. So we're really looking forward to this.
Which one now? Are you talking about the naval base across at North Island or 32nd Street?
Well, it's across the bay from wherever the naval ships are.
Right, where the carriers are. You're at Harbor Island or Shelter Island.
It's going to be beautiful. Oh, it's going to be a nice trip.
It's fantastic there.
If anybody wants to get more info, this was not a commercial. It was ad lib. 844-688-7477 is the number for AAA.
And if any of you are so inclined to find out where, never mind.
Some good spots for when we're away from the main group, do you?
Well, you know, if any of y'all like brothers or something, y'all like, barbecue, Hoffman's is up in Logan Heights. So.
Ooh, I'll have to check that out. Thank you for the tip. We always appreciate when, I used to work in San Francisco, so we get something there. Maybe we can get Phil Arno to come with us from Buzz because he was in L.A. for a long time, so it's going to be quite a trip. Now, the president is really between a rock and a hard place, I think, on this deal with Saudi Arabia, because the people want something, but how much can you do without upsetting the apple cart? It's a very delicate sense of balance in that part of the country and part of the world, and we want to make sure that we maintain good relations with Saudi Arabia. What do you think the president, what do you think his options are, first of all?
I don't think he has many options, because when you start to look at the culture of the Middle East, I think the best way that we could put this so that gives people better understanding, that if you look at the archaic way of thinking out there, we could look at Turkey and Saudi Arabia as being one of our many wives in the harem, the U.S. harem, economic harem over there. And that it just happens that Turkey has not been a real good second wife. Saudi Arabia has not been a perfect first wife, but that is the first wife. And that's where our strongest interest could lie, to keep stability in that area. Whereas with Turkey, you know, can you fly your planes through, or can't you, or all of these other things,
right.
It's a difficult situation. Where the Saudis, based upon, you know, the religious sects and the Sunnis and the Shiites, et cetera, will have a more stable government, even though it's a dictatorship, than the electorate in Turkey, where things can change based upon an election. So it is in our best U.S. interest to maintain as strong a tie with the Saudis and try to heal whatever we can with the Turks. And it would behoove the president to allow his ambassadors to do his speaking for him rather than to come out and to speak anything on these issues.
Now, would it be enough if he said, and he's already said it, that the crown prince, who was the one suspected of allowing it to happen, the crown prince has said many times that he had nothing to do with this, and I accept his word. Would that be enough, you think?
Well, no, not when the CIA says, well, the crown prince may not be telling the truth.
Now, here's something. I'm glad you mentioned that. Why do these things happen that the CIA gets out publicly ahead of the president through a publication, that information gets out? Now, if that was strategic information that was important, shouldn't that go through the president?
Absolutely. It is not just strategic information. In cases like this, it's hyper-strategic, that it should be just disseminated by the highest possible levels to and then through the president, if the president deems it something that people need to know. We do not need to know that the Saudi prince was behind it, if he was behind it. We don't want to put that out, because then it put us as America, the United States, in a tenuous position of now having to try to extract ourselves from the situation.
Especially, Ken, since it comes from a government agency. And they're supposed to be all tight-lipped and all that stuff. So it gets out. I would like to have been a fly on the wall when it got out and the president found out about it. So this gets out ahead of him before he can even make a position. And now he's got to maneuver around that and around our relationship. I think it's a non-winnable situation.
Well, the president's complained many times about the FBI being politicized. You have to ask the question, well, how would that have stopped the CIA? And the FBI is more of a local organization than the CIA. And if the CIA had the same politicization that the FBI has, then it's a very, very dangerous situation.
Pretty sad. Okay, we'll be back. 803-0930, 1-800-616-9236, *930. Donald Trump says he's standing with the Saudis. How do you feel about that position? On News Radio 930 WBEN.
The president said the crown prince assured him repeatedly he wasn't involved. And while Trump's statement called the crime a terrible one that our country does not condone, he insists he will not jeopardize America's relationship with the Saudis.
I'm not going to destroy the world economy, and I'm not going to destroy the economy for our country by being foolish with Saudi Arabia.
Ken, are you giving up your usual turkey trot run today?
I was on the board of management for the Niagara Falls YMCA, and I've only did one turkey trot.
You trotted toward the turkey.
No, I trotted toward where I was supposed to stand and hand out stuff.
That's good. You're supporting the runners.
Didn't you run into Chris Johnson the one year at the Thanksgiving, the turkey trot? You saw him at the finish or something? I vaguely remember that.
And you now, as long as you've known me, you're asking me to remember something.
Yeah, and he said, you said, because I remember that, you said he hugged Chris Johnson.
Yes.
I don't even know who Chris Johnson. I don't remember who he is. Who is Chris Johnson?
He's a Beamer's predecessor. You've forgotten Chris Johnson?
You know, it's easy to do when you have someone replacing him like like Beamer. I mean, Beamer just, he fills the room with oxygen.
This is Ken Hamilton for senility.
Wow, exactly. But it's one thing to forget something, but you should never forget Johnson.
Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson, of all
long
things.
Hair.
Long hair.
Yeah, you know, but it's...
Sat right next to me for
you
years.
You hugged him!
If anybody is most, you know, I mean, he's between Beamer and Jordan. How can you forget Jordan?
That's true.
At least you remember Jordan.
We've had some very, very good people to work with over the years. Excellent people.
Yeah, and I like when they remind
us
that.
Guy,
yeah, when you guys started, I was one.
Chris was a what? When who started, you were one.
Brendan Keeney was telling me yesterday, he goes, I remember last year I was filling in this week and last August when it was our 20th anniversary together, and he said I was one when you guys started.
How about that?
And you saluted him in a way.
I did. I gave him the salute. I said, here's one. Here it is. It's right in the middle of my hand.
Chris was a rather larger guy, right?
He was a tall guy,
yeah,
muscular.
Yeah.
Attractive in a strange, manly sort of way. Yeah. Yeah, not that there's anything wrong with that, right, Beamer?
That's right. I'm sure he'll be happy you forgot him, Ken.
And he's very funny. He's very funny. He has a series of blogs out that are extremely rude, but also extremely funny.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to check them out then.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I do remember them.
In fact, we pitched those to management here, and they loved them, but they thought they may be a little strong for the radio. You guys, do you know how you can hear the Chris Johnson blogs?
Yes, it's maybe 5 minutes with Chris Johnson, available in the Apple iTunes Store, on Podbean, Google Play, and Spotify.
Very good. Thank you. Now people will go, what? Did you hear that? It was amazing. All right, let's go to Dan in West Seneca, always one of our good callers. Dan, you're on WBEN.
Hey, thanks for having me. Just a wonderful, wonderful topic. I think foreign policy is tough. I think that we have not really been successful in the Middle East. And I also believe that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of a few. If Mr. Trump would just be quiet, let his advisors speak for him, he would do absolutely fine. I mean, if we were going to do anything with Saudi Arabia back when the Twin Towers were attacked, that was 14 Saudi nationals. We did nothing then. We went to war in Iraq. This one here, we need to trust that our president has more information that we are privy to. That one journalist who was murdered by a henchman inside an embassy. For one, there's diplomatic immunity, so how do we get access to him?
Now, are you practicing for the turkey trot, or are you running while talking?
I wasn't my voice. I took your breath away.
What do you think, Dan? Were you running while talking?
Actually, I'm working. And my job is a little physical, and I'm not 35.
Oh, well. Well, you've made your points, and I think they were well done, and I hope you have a very nice Thanksgiving, Dan.
Happy Thanksgiving, Dan, and absolutely correct. The president should speak less. Therefore, he could have plausible denial and all of these other things necessary for
not only the PR people, but we have a diplomatic corps. They could speak for it, too. State Department.
And they have their PR people.
Yeah. So there's enough others to speak for it. But everything in Washington now comes down. If they decide to take toothpicks out of restaurants, it'll be the president's problem. I'm just telling you. Everything is directed toward him. And if they can possibly make some political advantage from it, they will.
And, you know, this is why, and we were kind of talking on the break, on why I think that the common citizen shouldn't even be involved with who becomes the president. It was not always that way. The common citizen usually votes based upon emotion. For the person that is furthest away from them politically, expecting that person to do something for them without following their normal chain of command, which is your local government, your town councils, and on the way up, in which you do have power and control over. And it came down to our conversation about the universality of elections. There is
just some conformity, I think, would be nice.
Well, the conformity, if you start from the fact that the common citizen does not have enough information or impact to elect a president, the president is not the president of the people. The president is the presiding officer of the Constitution in the relationship with the federal government and the states, with his power being constitutionally the first three things. There are mutual defense of the borders of all of the states, to promote interstate commerce, and to promote the general welfare. But we look to the president to do specific things in small sectors of society's lives, which is far outside of his ability to do so. Me, as a Christian, I believe that if we continue to do this and look at, we can elect the highest power, then that highest power that have the power for war, to feed you, to clothe you, to house you, and all of these other things, become as your God. And because our Constitution is set up on moral values, of the common Christian moral values, then the morality is apt to leave, because now we're making ourselves the creators of gods, and then we're not responsible for anything.
Yeah, that's not otherwise. No, that's not. Yeah, otherwise Hamilton wouldn't be sold out downtown Buffalo.
And what a wonderful name.
Yeah, it's named after you, and I think that's wonderful. You know, maybe as a child and as an adolescent and as a young guy, and now as a not that young guy, I gave too much authority to the president, but it seems to me almost demeaning that a president of the United States would have to write answers and hand it into the teacher regarding the special counsel. I don't like that whole thing. All right, we'll take a break on News Radio 930. You know, it might be fun for Beamer to do on Friday, because I'm not going to be here. You can suggest this to him. Ask if people have Beamer. You're coming on you're doing the show on Friday. What might be a good thing is ask people if they where Hamilton ended up, if they went to see it. Was it better than they thought it would be? Was it worse than they thought it would be? Because there seems to be Hamilton mania. In fact, we have Ken Hamilton right here.
That's right, and he's maniac.
On News Radio 930, and it won't cost you a lot to get in. It's free on News Radio 930 WBN. Okay, I just came up with a great idea. Ken Hamilton, you just heard the commercial for the West Coast Dreaming Tour with Dan Neverth and I. And I've been trying to get you to go on one of these things. We've had eight of them, sold them all out. This is the ninth one. You'd be great. People would love you. It's a good chance for you to get away. But you're too damn cheap. So I think what we should do, Tony, let's look into setting up a GoFundMe page.
There you go.
What do you think? Now, in order to do it, something unpleasant has to be associated with it so that people will say, oh, well, yeah, count me in on a GoFundMe page. Anything unpleasant in your life that we could throw out there? Not too unpleasant, just enough to get people to sign up for it.
Yeah, I did have a bad situation that happened to me.
What's that, Ken?
You know, I did one of those DNA tests.
Yes.
And I found that I'm 75% Irish.
Oh, that's enough. That is enough. Because I can't imagine him step dancing. Can you? Can you see him with a long red wig and on St. Paddy's Day doing a little Irish step dancing?
He cannot dance.
Can't dance. He has no rhythm. I told you, I was asked not to clap my hands in a Pentecostal church because I'm throwing everybody out. You know, who was that? Steve, the comedian.
Steve. Oh, Steve Martin?
Steve Martin, you know, I was in the movie The Jerk, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm more like him when it comes to rhythm.
That's funny. You'd love this trip, and the people on the trip would love you. Plus, you could be our San Diego guide.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been almost 20 years. More
it's
than
still
years
there.
Since I've been to San Diego.
San Diego's still there.
But I'm planning another trip overseas for next year.
Oh, are you?
And the only thing that I have not done on your trip that you're doing, you know, I mean, come on, I've done cruises up the coast, but they were on Navy ships.
You've done a lot of cruises off the ship, too.
But to take the train, and I've taken the train through the American North Country.
The train is fabulous.
But I haven't taken the train through the Canadian South Country to
Rocky Mountaineer.
Stop. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, I've been to the Rockies on the Empire building.
No, the name of the train is the Rocky Mountaineer.
Well, yeah.
Most of the time it's in the Rockies. But there are times when it's not.
Most of the times it wouldn't be in Miami. And my brother lives along that route.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he lives in Canada.
That'd be great. That'd be great. So it's an informal GoFundMe page because I know you're too cheap to open your wallet. All right.
I can't take two major trips in one year.
Let's go to Timothy Leary said that in the 60s. Let's go to Kathy in South Buffalo. Kathy, you're on WBEN.
Hi, great show. It's tragic that this murder happened and the way it happened.
Sure.
We cannot put the future of America and the free world into jeopardy. America can't dictate our laws, morals, whatever, to the rest of the world. It just doesn't work. They're our laws, not theirs. And if we cancel this deal with the Saudis, Russia and China are sitting back drooling, waiting for us to blow this deal, and they will then reap the benefits. They'll get the billions of dollars from the Saudis, and they'll give them planes or whatever they want for it. But what's going to happen is they're going to have all this money, which will make them stronger and more dangerous to the free world.
Well,
you know, you bring up a
right.
good point. And let me tell you something, because if you understand what else is happening in the Indian Ocean, the Chinese own financially a lot of influence in East Africa already.
Yep.
If they could solidify that with Saudi Arabia, then they've taken over that part of the world, which is not so far off from our Monroe Doctrine anyway, and we could begin to focus exclusively on the Western Hemisphere.
Well, good points, especially since their laws and our law. If they were in our jurisdiction, I think we'd have to do something, but they're not.
And, Kathy, there's another point in there, too. We cannot let a journalist who just wants to go freelance and make a name for himself dictate what American policies going to be. If he wanted to criticize the, even though he was, you know, he was, I think he was Saudi born, wasn't he? But he was an American citizen. That if he wants to attack them, then, you know, as a journalist, you have to take a great deal of responsibility for what you provoke and not expect your, you know, 350 million Americans to stand by you.
Thank you for the call, Kathy. Really appreciate it. And speaking of China, I got a little perturbed yesterday when I had a story. It was Ford. Ford Motor Company is working on something now to totally eliminate the new car smell because they're starting to do some more business in China. And in China, they find the new car smell objectionable. So Ford is trying to do that. When, indeed, that's been one of the reasons to buy a car here.
I used to be able to buy cologne.
Oh, yeah, and you can buy a spray. Dealers even sell a spray. And if you go to the auto show, you'll see they have a spray. I love the new car smell, especially with leather. Oh, and it's a combination of glue and leather and all this stuff coming together after the manufacture of a car. And when you buy that car and you open the door and you get that new car smell, it's like heaven. Chinese don't like it, so Ford's going to get rid of it. And I don't think that's right.
Well, you know, it's sort of like, you know, when you come home and you smell your favorite food, it's not the smell, and it's not necessarily the taste. It is that it is home and the connotation of love and familiarity and all of those things are associated with that new car smell. When you open the door, you know that, wow, you've had a great accomplishment. You're being rewarded with the smell.
I think the idea should be that you can have this your wife's fragrance in the car. So no matter where you've been, no matter what you did, you came home and your wife goes, "Hi, honey, dinner's ready." We'll take her. I said that to him because he was a sailor. We'll be back with more in San Diego on News Radio 930 WBN.
The president said the Crown Prince assured him repeatedly he wasn't involved. And while Trump's statement called the crime a terrible one that our country does not condone, he insists he will not jeopardize America's relationship with the Saudis.
I'm not going to destroy the world economy, and I'm not going to destroy the economy for our country by being foolish with Saudi Arabia.
We're here with Ken Hamilton, always welcome on this show.
Well, and, yeah, I know.
Yes, it is good to have you. And somebody posted something I wanted to bring up. Oh, yes. I liked it better when we were told for reasons of national security, we cannot give you that information. Yeah, I think something's wrong when the CIA apparently leaks, because that's the only way somebody would get it, to a print publication that the Crown Prince is the one who ordered the execution of Khashoggi. I don't like that because that comes out ahead of the president. So now the president has to work around that. So not only does he have to work against Congress a lot, he has to work against his own the opposite party a lot, and now he has to work not only on his own party but several groups within his administration. That should be coming through a central location and be presented at the proper time. I just think it's wrong to do it this way. All right, let's go to Roy in Boston. Roy, you're on WBEN.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello,
good morning, Roy.
Just a couple of thoughts about this Saudi thing. We can't involve ourselves in the eternal affairs of every country in the world. We're not the policemen of the world, and it just complicates things.
I agree with that. I wish others didn't decide that we should be, because we get criticized for not intervening, and then when we do intervene, we get criticized there too as well.
Roy, where in the world did you get that NPR voice from?
You got a great voice.
Yeah.
Roy, have you ever been in media?
No, I haven't.
You should be.
Yeah, really.
You should be. You're doing commercials. Oh, man. I can hear you doing spots. There's good money in it, Roy. You got to look into it. I'll introduce you to Pat Felbaugh. He's the voice on virtually everything you hear in Western New York. And when it's not his voice, it's Todd, our production director. You could be in that group, Roy. Good voice.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care.
Well, just a second thought if you want to hear it.
Okay, sure.
Okay, you know, you have people like Stalin, Mao Zedong, Pol Pot. They, you know, they murdered millions of people,
yeah. But
you never hear much about it. And I think it was Lenin who said, "One person is a martyr, but millions are just a statistic."
Yeah. It was Lenin.
Great quote. Yeah. Well, I thought it was Ringo. It was Lenin. We'll give you that one. Hey, thanks, David, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Oh, same to you.
Okay, bye-bye. Wow, what a voice. Huh? Sounds like James Earl Jones.
Yeah, outstanding.
Ving Rhames, he could be, "We've got the meats," you know?
The guy in the Allstate commercial.
Yeah, the guy in the Allstate commercial is really good. He's got a great voice. The only problem I have with him, he's kind of irresponsible. He's sitting in a recliner chair in the middle of an intersection. Cars are whizzing all around him. That's dangerous. And you know, look closely at the disclaimer. It says, "Do not attempt this." Like somebody's going to see that commercial, take their Barca lounger out in the road and put it in the middle of the road and have cars go by him.
Well, they're an insurance company, and they know how to minimize risk. But, you know, the commercial that I don't like that he did is in his chair, what he was talking about, a 500-year storm should come every 500 years. But there's been 26 last year. Well, the storm is not universally happening all over the earth. You know, it's a 500-year storm here and then 500-year storm there.
Picky, picky, picky. I like the one, "We know a lot because we've seen a lot." That would be your commercial.
Oh, yeah.
I think they wrote that commercial, don't you think, Tony, about him? If only we knew the inside story of Ken Hamilton, maybe we could leak it to the press.
Well, you know, Frank Soda was a councilman and a social studies teacher in Niagara Falls. And after I had given a presentation to city council on why they shouldn't be doing something based upon an experience that I had and knew about, when I go back to my seat, Frank calls me over. He says, "Kenny, come here." And he had his class there. He says, "Yeah, what do you want, Frank?" He says, "You know something?" I says, "What?" He says, "You're nothing but a Forrest Gump."
Oh, man.
And I was upset at first, but then I thought about it. Yeah, kind of. I just haven't been shot in my buttocks.
Yeah, you. You have traveled to your own drummer, no question about that. Let's go to David in Lockport. David, you're on WBEN.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, David.
Hey, I got two quick things. I think the only reason why this seems to be Trump's problem is because the media is, of course, trying to make it his problem. Khashoggi, it was a legal resident of America. He's not a citizen. So he's not a citizen. He wasn't murdered in the United States. He was murdered in Turkey. It's none of our business. It's literally none of our business. But you notice the Democrats, what side they always take against the United States and the people they claim to defend. They're all in favor of women, right? The Khashoggi was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, a strong member. And the last thing they want to do is see this crown prince do things that he's doing, like giving women the right to drive.
Really?
I don't think I want to see women driving around with burqa vision, you know?
I hear you loud and clear. Good points. Well said. Thank you very much.
What kind of vision did he say?
Burqa vision. That's coming to a theater near you. Opening on Friday. See burqa vision. See women behind veils. All right. Now, a Beamer, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, so we're all off tomorrow. But then,
that's right.
After
you
tomorrow
guys are off.
Is Friday, and I will not be here, but you are doing the show. What do you have planned?
Well, we're going to talk about everyone's Thanksgiving. I want to know, your holiday kickoff. A lot of people, their kickoff is on Black Friday. And are you shopping on Black Friday, or was this something you did online? Did you hit the stores Thanksgiving night, the mall opening up at 8 o'clock? So I want to get a vibe of where everyone is this Black Friday 2018.
Now, and you also bring an interesting perspective to this, because you were in retail for a few years. I assume that this is the final drill for having a great financial year, the final few weeks of this.
It is. And working retail, you are under so much stress on Black Friday because you want to secure that sale.
And you're dealing with customers that are frantic.
Yes.
It's not like casual people go out just browsing around. These are people who need that latest toy. I've got to have that. I've got to do this and whatever. So you're dealing with frazzled people.
But did you address with your coworkers, these are the rules of Fight Club?
That's right. That's right. That's right. You keep them right here.
But you know, Sandy, you have frantic on both ends, because this thing is, if we could get the sales up, it would increase our stocks. So the corporation is pretty frantic about the frantic customers as well, saying that here's how profitable we were. Our stocks are going to go up. We're going to make more money in sales, and we get bigger bonuses.
Oh, very nice. That's a nice...
But I do take exception at Black Friday. I'm spending money. I'm not making money, and I'm black.
Hey, black customers matter.
Are you going to go ice skating at the, what is it, a new rink on downtown Niagara Falls?
Am I going to go ice skating?
That's a good question. Why don't you ask him if he's going to ski?
He's going to put his figure skates on.
He's too busy. He's too busy skiing. He wants to go down to the ski area.
I went ice skating once in my life at the old Centennial Ring that we had in front of the casino. Remember? Before it was a parking lot, it was an ice skating rink.
Vaguely.
I made it around the rink one time without falling. It took me 40 minutes.
I did a promotion once in a roller skating rink. Now, I can't roller skate.
Oh, I roller skate.
I can barely stand up. But they said it'll be really funny if you roller skate across the rink. And what we'll do is we'll put a girl on each arm. So I thought, I'll give it a try. Okay. Uh-huh. They needed 8 girls, 4 girls on each arm to get me across the rink one time.
I was going to ask you, how hurt were the girls afterwards?
They never found them. It was too late. They were gone. Well, it's thank you for your participation today. It's a serious subject, and I do think one of the last few callers we had brought it out.
Nailed it, yeah.
They're trying to make it something that the president should be involved with. We are not the world's policeman. And the problem is we judge actions that happen someplace else as if they happened here. And as I said, can you imagine the president having Jim Acosta, for instance, assassinated? Unheard of. Ridiculous. But we can't think like that. We have to think they have their own universe and we have ours. Ken, very happy Thanksgiving to you.
And a happy Thanksgiving to Bernie and you.
Thank you. Bernadette, I saw her the other day. I said, who are you? You're following me around. She said, I'm Bernadette. Tony, have a great Thanksgiving. You too, Beamer.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Carry the flag for us on Friday. I'll be back on Tuesday of next week. See you then.
Elvis has left the building.
Oh, I wish we never had to leave the beach.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.